obviously coming off a short week, I'm not sure how much time you had to look at the film of the Dolphins, but when you look at their offense and what they're doing right now, what jumps out at you the most that would concern your defense?
Well, I think when you look at their big play potential, I mean, there's some really good things that you see. You go back and look at their Cincinnati game; they ran the ball very well, some explosive runs. I know they did, had a couple turnovers, but show the ability for them to be explosive. Then you turn around and you look at their playmakers. Look at the guys that they have at wide receiver. I think there's a good group of guys. I mean, I like Mike Wallace. He's a vertical threat. Brian Hartline is a really good receiver underneath. And then Rashad Matthews, who's proven to be a good player for them. I think Tannehill's really come along well. He's in a very comfortable spot because he's in an offense that he knows very well, as we've seen. He runs their offense and does a nice job in their offense. So I think it's a good football team. I think people, give them enough credit when you watch them. I think these guys have an opportunity to be explosive.
But when you see all the troubles they have with the offensive line, what kind of opportunities can that present for your defense? I mean, the offensive line is in a state of flux, and when they weren't, they've still allowed a league-wide 41 sacks.
Well, I mean, that's all part of it. But, again, these guys are going to show up, and they're going to play hard. So, our whole point and everything that we do as far as what – our approach is going to be that these guys are professionals. They're professional football players. There's a reason why they're in the league, and we'll play as hard as we can against these guys.
How much do you have to keep an eye on Cam Wake?
Oh, we most certainly need to. I think, he's proven to be an explosive defensive player, playmaker, and I think the thing you have to do is you have to account for him. You got to understand your protections, how you're going to use your protections, because the one thing you don't want to do is get a bad mismatch. You put him on a lesser player, and he's got an opportunity to make plays, and he'll take advantage of him. And heck, he even exploits a good player. So it's not like, he's a guy that you can eliminate. You have to be aware of who he is, and once you do that, it opens up things for the other players. I mean, this is a good defensive front. I think this team is a team that, you cannot take lightly because they are too many good football players.
Coach, when you look at the secondary, Brent Grimes obviously was in your division for a while. What have you seen out of the level of play he's putting up there this year?
Well, I know this much. They're a very opportunistic defense. You look at how many takeaways they've got. So it's not like these guys aren't, they don't have a nose for a ball. They do. I think Brent Grimes is a heck of a football player. It was unfortunate last year that he got hurt, and came at a bad time for him. But personally, you watch him, you see him make plays. Again, I point to what I saw at the Cincinnati game. I saw him play very well against San Diego because my ties with San Diego, I watched that game kind of closely, and I thought he did a nice job. He's most certainly is a playmaker, as are their other defensive backs. I think they've got a good group back there.
Going back to the offensive side of the ball, Charles Clay obviously had a big play last week against San Diego and has had a pretty big season after Keller went down. What concerns you the most about a tight end with that kind of skill set?
Well, an athletic tight end, a guy that can get vertical right through the middle, is most certainly a threat. So if you're playing any middle open defense, whether it's cover two, cover four, or cover six, whatever your combinations are, he puts stress on the safeties. He puts stress on the linebackers that's trying to roll and cover him, or the safety for that matter. So, you've got to count for him, and they know that, and that's why he's in there. I think they've got a good mix. I think Clay, Sims, and Agnew are decent tight ends that can threaten you right through the middle, as Charles Clay proved.
Coach, you guys started out 1-3, not a very good start, but then you've won 6 in a row. You're the hottest team now in the NFL. What changed? What was the biggest difference or differences winning 6 in a row?
Well, I think the biggest thing is for some of our games, we won the close ones. Especially the last 2 weeks was winning the close ones. I mean, my first 2 years, we didn't win the close ones. Our second game of the year this year against Buffalo, we had an opportunity to win. We didn't win the close ones. We're in position now that we've won the close ones. We've done some things. In the fourth quarter, we've done some things in earlier parts of the games that have given ourselves a chance to win and walk away winners.
When you go for it on fourth down, I know you've got the moniker Riverboat Ron and all that, and maybe you like it, maybe you don't, but with Riverboat Ron, what does it say to your players, though, when you do go for it on fourth down? It's the message to your offense that we're going to trust you, and your message to your defense that if it doesn't work, we trust you guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's all part of it. I mean, it's one of those things that, after the Buffalo game, we had a situation where it was 4th and 1. I could have gone for it, but I kicked the field goal to elect to go up by 6, figuring I'd force them to score a touchdown to beat us. And looking at rehashing that, going back at that, the question in my mind was, was that the best decision, or do I go ahead and see if I can, get the first down and end the game? So I've thought about that a lot, and I've looked at it, and I've kind of put together a situation sheet as to when I think I should go for it and when I shouldn't. So I've kind of looked at that. I've stuck to that for the most part since then, and it's been effective at times. And, you know, we had two other situations where we didn't convert. So, you know, we're still going. We're still rolling. I think we're 5 for 7 on fourth downs. And so, you know, we've made some good decisions. We've done some good things. And then on the inverse, we've been able to hold up and stop them when we've had to. So I think as a team, it does show the guys, hey, we have some faith and confidence in you guys.
Coach, it's been talked about here openly among the media and the Dolphins. And the Dolphins don't seem to care that when Ryan Tannehill goes to the line and says one thing, primarily it's a run play, another thing it's a pass play, when it brought up to them, to Coach Philbin, to Ryan Tannehill, they seem very nonchalant about it. They just didn't think it made a difference. If your guys know a split second before the snap whether it's going to be a run or a pass, how much can you take advantage of that, and particularly on play action?
Well, if you know it's coming, yeah, that's great. You most certainly will take advantage. But, you know, again, there's, you know, we hear quarterbacks audible all the time. Tom Brady was sitting there. One time he said something, and they ran the ball. The next time he said the same thing, and we were sitting there figuring, oh, here comes the run, and it was play action pass. So, I can't tell you whether it's one way or the other. I mean, I'd have to know what they're saying, you know, if it does mean something. I mean, there's dummy calls, there's alerts, there's color codes. It's hard for me to buy into it. I mean, because, again, defense, you know, we work certain calls too, but, you know, we have dummy calls as well, so I'm not sure if there's much to that.
But if the Dolphins, when brought it up, and it seemed pretty consistent, didn't seem to care, they didn't think it was a big deal, but if you detected a pattern and you did find out about it, that could be a significant advantage for the defense?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, but again, you've got to be right. I'll give you another example. When I was in San Diego as a coordinator, we played Indianapolis on Sunday Night Football. Payne got to the line, he made a call, Stephen Cooper, my linebacker, he adjusted that call, next thing you know, they rip off a 15-yard play. Come to side, I said, Steve, what happened? He says, well, he said this, and this is supposed to mean this. I said, well, I guess not. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. I think that, you know, you take it for what it is, and if there is a pattern, then maybe you go with it. If there isn't a pattern, or you think there is a pattern, you got to be careful.
Ron, we talked to Luke a little bit earlier. He mentioned Lamar Miller, obviously somebody he faced in college as well. When you look at Lamar as a running back, you know, what kind of threat does he pose coming out of that backfield?
Well, you know, I think they've got a great combination of backs, you know, and it's not necessarily just about the one guy. He's got great speed, good quickness, and he gets the corner very quickly. And, you know, we've got to make sure we set edges and keep him contained and not get him into open space, because he can make people miss. He's a quality running back with great ability and great vision. They have a couple of guys that run the ball very well inside as well. I think it's Thomas is 33 or 34, I think, are really good inside runners. So, you know, they pose a good 1-2 punch as far as what they do as far as their running game is concerned.
Can you talk, since you've been here, since you've been a coach there, about the improvement of Cam Newton and particularly this year? And he's certainly a physical specimen, but talk about the, you know, improvement in the intelligence and his football decision-making process.
You know, it's interesting because one of my position coaches, one of our new ones that we just picked up last offseason, he looked at me and said, you know, I get it. And I said, what? He says, about Cam. He said, you know, just dawned on me, he's played 1 year of major college football. He goes in, he's in his third year now as an NFL veteran who didn't have a training camp or a mini camp his first rookie year. And now all of a sudden it's time. And so, you know, his point was, you know what, this is about right. Now you see it. You see it all coming together. And I think it was a matter of time as he was going through that maturing process, that growing process of learning offenses, learning defenses, understanding what we're doing, how we're trying to do it. Those things you see. You see different things that he's doing, and you go, wow, he's getting it. He understands. That's great. And I think it's all been part of his growth. I think people expected so much from him so soon and so early that because of that, I think it was unfair. Now the expectations kind of settled down a little bit, and now he's doing those things, and everybody's going, oh, see, I told you, he could have done it. To me, it's just a matter of his growth, just a matter of our patience and recognizing and understanding. He's had to learn, and he's done a great job of it for us.